This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
And horrifying news story.
I don't know if this is the kind of hard-hitting news you're used to.
Got some good news and I got some bad news.
Now this could be the big story of the summer. Network is going to be wanting plenty of coverage.
What do you mean, silly? I mean, that's real news.
All right, we haven't talked about the Mark Sanchez story in a while, but this from ESPN this morning. Mark Sanchez will not return. Big shocker there. As a Fox Sports analyst, as he's still facing charges stemming from his alleged attack on a truck driver last month. To replace Sanchez, Fox has hired Super Bowl winning quarterback Drew Brees. That's a pretty safe bet. Drew's a pretty good guy. Fox Sports spokesperson said on Friday, "We can confirm that Mark Sanchez is no longer with the network. There will be no further comment at this time." What a weird story, man. Guy was in town for the weekend's game between the Colts and the Raiders when he confronted the truck driver before allegedly attacking and injuring him. He was stabbed in the chest in the incident and spent a week in the hospital. The trucker, who is claiming self-defense and has not been charged, is suing him and Fox Sports for unspecified damages. Why is he suing Fox Sports?
I guess because Mark Sanchez was in town, but that's like him suing you, him suing KFK for something
that
you
I did. Yeah, that's silly.
But like you wouldn't do anything wrong.
Oh no, I would never do anything. I would never do anything like that. I don't like confrontation.
Yeah.
I don't want to do that. No, I'm
Mark Sanchez. Like what? I just don't understand.
But we just don't know. We don't know.
If you're an angry drunk, don't drink.
I mean, I'm sure there's more. I think there's got to be more to the story, but
they said they have it on camera.
They do have it on camera. Have you seen any footage? The only footage I've seen is him like walking away after being stabbed.
Yeah, I haven't. I haven't looked at the camera angles or anything. But if they have it on camera, then it might be cut and dried. It might be possibly plead guilty.
How about this one? Six former men's basketball college basketball players at three different schools, New Orleans, Mississippi Valley State, and Arizona State, participated in betting schemes that included game manipulation or sharing information with known bettors, the NCAA announced on Friday. The players are Sidquavius Hunter, DeQuavion Short, wow, some good names, and Jamon Vincent, who played for New Orleans last season, manipulated their performance for betting purposes in seven games. According to the NCAA findings, in all seven games, Hunter, Short, and Vincent allegedly lost or attempted to lose by more points than the spread at sportsbooks as part of a conspiracy with outside bettors, the NCAA said. Two players at Mississippi Valley State, Donovan Sanders and Alvin Strijic, were offered money to throw a January 6th game against Alabama A&M. According to the NCAA, Sanders also was overheard discussing throwing the game ahead of a December 21st, 24 contest against Tulsa, the NCAA found. And then former Arizona State forward B.J. Freeman was found to have shared information with a former teammate who was betting on Freeman's performance at a daily fantasy site. The NCAA permanently revoked eligibility for all six players. Big Hub says, how are they figuring all this out? I wouldn't trust these betting sites. Yeah, how are they figuring that out? I mean, I'm guessing the NCAA got tipped kind of like the NBA kind of did. Unusual betting stuff or just someone reporting. If you're overhearing a player say stuff like that, then that gets reported. But this is the ultimate fear. Do you think this is going to slow down now that we're starting to catch people? Like, they're starting to catch people now at an alarming rate.
I don't know if it's going to slow down. I think it's going to change. They'll figure out how to do something different. They're going to have to change the bets, the way the bets work.
You can't do, and I don't think, in college, can you do over-unders for players, like prop bets for players? I don't think so. But you can still manipulate the game. If you're supposed to lose by a certain amount, or if you're supposed to win, you can, if you're in the game and you're impacting the game, you're getting a lot of minutes, you can impact it. You can find ways to do it. And Mike, it's just so freaking easy to cheat. It's so easy for one player just to go to their buddy and say, hey, you want to bet? Bet the game? Bet on us to lose tonight because I know that our starting center is out. So bet on it. You know, cut me some of that. That's if you just kept it between you and your buddy and it was just not any texts or phone calls and you trust that buddy, it can happen as easy as that. Like, if you're wanting to do it and you're saying, okay, I just can't get involved with a bunch of different people. I can't get involved with the mafia. I can't do that kind of thing. So I'm just going to do it with my friend.
And your friend's not going to bet smart. Your friend's going to like win every time. You have to tell your friend, hey, win some and lose some. Win like 60% or win 40%.
Yeah, there's going to be like, ways, yeah.
But win slowly.
Derbs, the dude down the hall texting in, you can bet college player props and it's state dependent. In Colorado, you cannot. I think that's probably going to be one of the solutions is, and I have fun with the Nuggets. You know, I like to throw out who I think's going over in points and all that stuff. And I have fun with that. Do I trust it? Not 100%. I don't believe when I say Jamal Murray is going to have 22 points that Jamal Murray is on purpose trying to score less than 22. I don't think the majority of players do that. I don't think the majority of college players do that. I think there are some. It's just like anything in life. There are bad apples that will try to manipulate these games that will, you know, hey, I'm not going to go pro, so I've got inside information that not a lot of people do. They could maybe even get coerced into it. Like they could have their buddy come up to them and say, hey, man, I'm betting tonight. What can you tell me? Well, don't bet on us. Billy's not playing. I mean, it could be as simple as that. And hey, thanks for the tip, man. Here's 20 bucks. I don't know. I don't see it going away anytime soon.
Or it could be as easy as like his buddy was talking to him and his buddy was kind of a confidant and he was just, you know, venting or something and his buddy's using that information to bet.
Yeah. All valid points. Meanwhile, sticking with the betting stuff, former NBA player and assistant coach Damon Jones pleaded not guilty Thursday to charges he profited from rigged poker games and provided sports bettors with non-public information about injuries to stars like LeBron James and Anthony Davis. He's pleading not guilty on that. So we'll see how this one goes. But this was always the greatest fear of sport in sports is if you start seeing stories of players and coaches getting involved, manipulating. You see it here. Here's a random story of six NCAA players. Here's a random story of an NBA player, former NBA player, and an assistant coach. Here's a random story of, okay, Chauncey's not tied to the fixing of games, but he's tied to something else with an organization that was tied to the fixing of games. It destroys that integrity. I the more these stories pop out, the more real consideration is going to have to be taken to as to whether or not you drastically change what can be bet on and how. But even if you remove player props and your team is a -6.5 point favorite, then there's a 6.5 point favorite, not a minus. That's redundant. They're a 6.5 point favorite. There's still a fear that a guy could manipulate that game. You know, maybe he's a star player and he gets two quick fouls. You know, plays aggressive defense and just picks up really two boneheaded fouls and he's out. Sits out for several minutes in the first half and that changes things drastically. But those are now the people that are investigating this stuff are going to have to pay closer and closer attention to all of those things. It's wild, man. It's absolutely wild. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. The the suspensions and revoking them, and that has to be step one. If you find out somebody is doing this, there's no second chance. And no matter who that player is, that's where the first step has to be. And it seems like that's what we're seeing at the NCAA level. But I'm with you, Big Hub. I don't know. How are they figuring this out? I don't know. They're catching, the companies are catching unusual betting history. That's one thing. But then there's also, if you just overheard it, or somebody ratted you out, and that friend that you trusted basically was uncomfortable with it and went and told the school about it. There's several ways they can go about finding this out, but there's also even more ways that you can keep it secret. And that's an alarming thing if you do participate. So I would imagine, like Big Hub says, I wouldn't trust these betting sites. I'm curious to see if any of them have taken any kind of a hit with the NBA story and the NCAA story. I would be very curious to see that. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. The weekend of college football. Whew. We got Rocky Mountain College kickoff coming up at 2 today. And I guess we're going to just label that the bad show because we have not a lot of positives to talk about. I mean, Wyoming's off this weekend. You got Air Force playing San Jose State. You got the Rams playing UNLV in their snow day game. You got the Buffs going up against West Virginia. We got Brian Howell talking to us at 12:30 today. Hopefully that holds up. He's going to be on the road, Mike. So we'll see how his phone handles the situation coming up. But it's UNC's at Northern Arizona. Who has the most to play for this weekend? I think all of them pretty much have to win out to get into a bowl game. UNC, I think, has a lot to play for because they're trying to make this their best season since, 2016 or whatever, or even beyond that. They've got a lot to play for. They haven't won four games in a long time. So there's a lot to play for the Bears.
I think the answer is UNC.
I think so,
they
too.
Are the ones who have the most to play for. The ones who have the least to play for is CSU.
100% at CSU. 100%. Because it's a lame duck situation. There's no, win these last few games and show some positive for the future. There's a good chance that a good chunk of the players on this roster will not be back. There's a really good chance that the entire coaching staff and the management team, because we have those now, will not be back for CSU. So there's really no feel-good wins build for the future. Even if they won out and they get into a bowl game, there's still no, like Big Hub says, Rams have a chance. Oh, it's a question. Rams have a chance? They do have a chance to win, but what does it mean? What would beating UNLV mean to CSU? I mean, win or lose, you're not gaining any new fans. People aren't going to, if they weren't just going to go to the game tomorrow, they're not going to go to the next home game. I mean, if they've already bowed out of the season. If you just like to go to the games, you still want to support CSU, and then that's, I get that, you support your school. But there's a lot of people that are just not diehard, and since CSU doesn't have a lot of those diehard fans, it seems like. That's why they exit games early when they're close sometimes. I've seen it. Or with an epic comeback. I think it was against Nevada years ago. People left that game, and CSU came back and won five years ago.
People like me, not a lot of me's out there. Like, if I was a Rams fan, I would be a diehard, and I'd be in that stadium all night.
Big Hub says it helps with merch if they win, yeah. Yeah, I guess. Yeah, I just don't.
Even if they go to a bowl game, the perception that they are terrible is like that's always going to be a stain on them. And it was going to be a stain on them since game number two.
Yeah. No, I think you're right. Because even if you go to a bowl game, it's not like, oh, we got something we can build off of. We got momentum. No, because the coach that got you there is going to be gone. Tyson Summers will not get hired as the head coach. I mean, I guess there's a chance he could get. They could retain him. The new coach could retain him as the DC. But I don't see that happening. I would put that at like 1% chance of that happening.
That is so rare.
Yeah.
So rare. Coaches want to bring in their own guys.
Yes. 100%. That's what this is all about. You have your guys that you bring with you. So for Colorado, I mean, you're starting your freshman quarterback. So you could argue that the Buffs still have a lot to play for because they are building for the future. If Julian Lewis goes out and lights up West Virginia this weekend, don't you think that that helps with recruits? Like, oh, they got their quarterback now. They might figure this out. We want to go there. That will help. So CU still has a lot to play for.
Yeah, CU would be the number two. Number three would be Air Force, but we all know they have no defense. So they're just, yeah, they don't have much to play for. Maybe a bowl game. But
so
CU,
is there,
for them, it's the future. For everybody, it's the future. No matter what,
except for
everybody,
CSU.
It's the future. But for UNC, it's not just the future. It's to erase the past.
Yeah, it's to
say,
build something finally.
We're here.
Yeah.
We're not coming.
Do they have a shot against shot against Northern Arizona?
Yeah. Yeah, they do.
I think they're 10-point dogs in this one, so it's not an alarming, you know, spread like we've been seeing in the 20-pluses. So
yeah, this is one where I would say that they have a legit shot. I'm not going to say that they're going to win outright. I was wrong last week. I'll admit that once again.
You were way wrong. Like, the most wrong you could possibly be.
Yeah, I was. I mean, if I was more wrong, it would be 55-0. Yeah, very, very wrong. I misplaced my faith in the UNC. Probably should have kept that with Idaho. Because I thought that they would lose that one but cover.
So you've been wrong. Yeah. 21 minutes after the hour, Brian Howell will join us from Buff Zone. We'll talk about what this game means to the Buffs. It certainly seems like they, like the rest of these teams we talk about, are drowning at this stage. Can they stop the bleeding? Texter here from the 970. Would UNC have higher attendance at football games if they won more games? It seems like non-alumni of Greeley really just never get on board with the school. Yeah, the short answer, if they won more games, people would show up. I already sense more. Now, I haven't been to a game this year, but I already sense more of an excitement around this team than I have in years. It might have gone down a little bit because of the blowout to Montana State, but if they start winning, people are going to want to go to those games. It's inexpensive. It's not a great field or setup or anything, but if the Bears are good, yeah, 100%, I think people would start going to the games.
And I'm going to say somewhat. They're never going to have a sellout. Not until UNC and the community. For some reason, the community and UNC just have never kind of had this relationship that CSU and Fort Collins have.
It's not blown up around here. When I drive through Fort Collins, I see CSU stuff all over the place.
All over.
And I know they have their billboard thing they're doing now, so that helps. But when I drive around Greeley, I don't see a lot of UNC stuff.
No.
And in
a shop occasionally.
Yeah, I think the community is just, it's just, like, this. There's a really good basketball team. Steve Smiley, for the most part in his career, has put together a really good basketball team, and they don't sell out. So it's a mix. I do think winning would help a little bit, but I tend to agree. You would have to be, like, really freaking good to start getting more and more fans to come to your games.
And I think a lot of it was over the years, there was not as much outreach. I don't think UNC reached out as much.
When I went to UNC, Mike, I never talked to players. Players didn't go to the UC, which is where we would go eat, one of the places we would go eat, and there were classes in there, and it was just kind of a hangout. I would go there a lot, and I don't remember them ever making videos of the basketball team in Halloween costumes saying, hey, you're going to go to the game this weekend. I never experienced that. They're doing that now, though.
I saw one a few years ago, and I don't know when that started, but it was a few years ago where the basketball players were like, you know, fake proposing. They were giving, hey, will you come to the game? And it was on Valentine's Day, and I thought that was really creative. Doing that now helps on campus. They'll have to do it more off campus.
I was talking to a former supporter of UNC, like a donor, and yesterday, and this guy was like, you know, I've given a lot of money over the years. One of the things that bothers me is I don't know the players. I used to connect with the players a lot more because they would be there for now. But every school you look at, I mean, CSU, they're starting five. Four of those guys were transfers, new guys. And I'm not, like, I like these guys, but you don't get to know a lot of these dudes. That's something else that comes into play.
With Lamb, it's going to be different, I think. Lamb, you're going to get those longer terms.
Until you start getting better players, and then those players get poached. John Fort Fun texting in, I sold my last two games already. not interested at all in renewing my tickets. I could care less if they ever won another game. Wow. That's John Fort Fun. That's a CSU guy. That's a fan. So even if they hire, you know, an exciting coach, that wouldn't get you back? Are you just completely out? It's just been too much devastation over the years.
Wow.
Yeah. I listen, man.
I guess it's not Fort Fun anymore.
No, it's an investment. It costs a lot of money to go to games. It takes a lot of your time, and it can be really fun. But when they're just year after year, you don't see the success, you don't necessarily blame fans. I get it. 100%, 1225 the time. Let's take a quick break. It's the whole show powered by Chevron on this Football Friday. I'll read some of those texts when we come back. I got a lot. We're coming in. You guys are red hot today. I love it. It's the whole show powered by Chevron. Brian Howell will join us at the bottom of the hour. Don't go anywhere.
Hear college football, the NFL, and the Broncos on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Ellison Hubbard, a former CSU Ram, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Big City Roadhouse, big city flavor, roadhouse comfort. It's this place. It's a fun, energetic, casual atmosphere with a true roadhouse feel. You guys got to stop by. It's where the old Cables was, and I'm telling you, Big City Roadhouse. They got it all. Delicious stuff. I got a meeting. I'm spreading the good word with everybody. I'm meeting there next week. So I always love my time when I go there. I haven't had a bad meal yet. The service is outstanding. So do yourself a favor. It's Friday. Make some plans. I got it for you. Big City Roadhouse. Tell them we sent you here from the whole show. 31 minutes after the hour. Brian Howell's going to join us from Buff Zone. And the Buffs are starting Julian Lewis this weekend against West Virginia. And there is a lot to play for on that side. So we'll talk to Brian about that coming up next. But first, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
There's only one sound like the key tumbling the lock open for the first time. One feeling like finally seeing your place after you've emptied all the moving boxes. That moment when four walls and a roof become the home you've always wanted. If you're on the search for that special place, we're the community bank that'll help you get there. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
Hi, this is Earl Boykins, former Denver Nugget, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Just 36 minutes after the hour. Welcome back into the whole show on this Football Friday, presented by Big City Roadhouse. Joining me now from Buff Zone on our First Advantage Hotline is Brian Howell, our Buffs insider. Brian, my friend, we were just talking about the teams that we talk about, like the regional teams around here, and I'm like, who has anything to really play for this weekend? And I think with the Buffs, you gotta win out to become bowl eligible. That would be good. But also, if Julian Lewis goes out and plays well in these next three games, you got to think that would help with recruits too. Did we lose him? Did we lose Brian? We got you. Okay, we got you. I thought we lost you. But anyway, did you hear? You heard my question.
Yeah, I guess there's stuff to play for. I mean, mathematically there is, and you know, a week ago at this time, I was saying the Utah game was not how they've been playing. And if they get back to what they were doing, I felt they could go on a three-game run, you know, Arizona, West Virginia, ASU, and get to a bowl game. And as bad as they look last week, it's hard to project any more wins at this point. But, you know, West Virginia has not been that good, so there's a chance. And then ASU's got a backup quarterback, so there's a chance. And then you never know if you're 5-6. So, yes, there's still that to play for. But I think the all eyes are going to be on Julian Lewis.
Yeah.
That's who Buff fans want as the future of this offense and of this team. And so how he looks this week is going to be really big for them.
And I do. I want to talk more about Julian Lewis too. But Brian, were you duped? It sounded like Coach Prime thought he got all the media the other day by saying, "Hey, I might have made a change at play caller, and none of you guys knew it." Well, I don't know if that's something you want to brag about. We didn't know because it looked the exact same. The Arizona and the Utah game looked the exact same.
Yeah, you know, whatever change you made, it didn't work.
Yeah.
You might just not have the guys. I don't know. That's interesting, you know, especially because it came out, you know, the next day that they did make that change, and Brett Bartoloni called the plays. And, you know, Bartoloni was his play caller and offensive coordinator in 22 with Jackson State, but he was also, you know, at Jackson State with Shador Sanders and Travis Hunter. So that looks a little bit different than trying to call plays for this group.
How bad do the optics look now with a guy like Sean Lewis and seeing what he's doing with San Diego State? And obviously, the Buffs have continued to have this revolving, you know, door between, you know, play callers.
Yeah, it's crazy because when Carl Durrell was fired, Sean Lewis, if you remember, was on that short list of guys Buff fans wanted as the head coach. You know, I mean, he was a hot topic or a hot name for head coaching jobs. And so the fact that they were able to get him as the OC, I thought was a big win. And for whatever reason, that group didn't work out together. And, you know, they lasted 8 games together. Sean Lewis is a heck of a coach. And he may not still be here because he's that good.
Right, right.
An OC. But honestly, when he was hired, I'm like, man, if this is a 2-year deal with Dion, Sean Lewis could be the next head coach. So it's not surprising to me that Lewis is having success.
Yeah, Brian Howell joining us from Buff Zone. Well, on the quarterback stuff, I know there's a lot of holes with this team, but you know, in football, that's where we go. We tend to look at that quarterback position. What's your confidence level? Because I'm certainly excited. This adds more juice to the game because I want to see what this kid's got, and you know, that would excite me for what maybe next year looks like. But what's your confidence level like right now for the youngs? I mean, freak, what is he, 17 still, Brian, or 18?
No, he actually turned 18, I think, the day after the Wyoming game last month or in September. But, man, like I said, confidence level was much higher last week when I thought maybe it was a one-off. But I don't know what's happened to this team. And it's hard to have much confidence in the entire group. And Julian Lewis, he might take him out of it. The offensive line's banged up, too. I mean, Jordan Seaton's on the injury report right now. The other tackle, Larry Johnson's on the injury report. So he could be down some guys trying to block for him as well. But I think Julian's really talented. I'm excited to see him. I was encouraged by a couple of things last week, including he's not known as a runner, but he actually had a really nice scramble, I think 15, 20-yard run for a first down that looked really good. So I'm excited to see him. And I don't think they have to win this game. I think that it would be important for him to look good, though.
Yeah, just be competitive. I just don't understand, Brian, how we go from, because you and I have talked a lot about this, you know, how we go from close game against BYU, close game against TCU, a win over Iowa State. How do we go from that to the Utah-Arizona situation? Is it injuries? Yeah, I mean, what is it?
Well, plus, you know, after Iowa State, you have the bye where everybody has a chance to rest up. And so you think you're going to come out, all right, you're ready to go for that that second half push, and it's just been a disaster. And I honestly have no idea how you go from that to what it is now, and I don't know how you get it back. I mean, on one hand, you can say, well, it's only 2 games, and look what we were before, so you can get it back. I think it's going to be hard to do that. I think mentally, I'm not sure where this team is, and I think Coach Prime is telling us a lot about his team mentally by not giving us players, you know, and nobody cares about the media. I understand that. But, you know, when he's not putting players out in front of the media, he's saying, I don't think they can handle that right now. That's telling me that this is a mentally weak team, and that's a problem.
Yeah, I thought about that, too. It just seemed odd. And I get it, maybe. Like, it sounds like his heart maybe is in the right place. But it's also like this is part of it. I'm always careful to be critical of college players. But it has changed a lot in the NIL world and all of that. But it did strike me as a bit odd. You're kind of shielding everybody because you just don't think they can handle it.
Yeah, and he talked about mental health twice in his post-game press conference the other day. You know, the fact that he says on Tuesday that, you know, I want to shield these guys. I'm a father figure and all this stuff. It's like he never would have done that over the last couple of years with Shador and Shiloh and all those guys. And You know, I think that in the past, he knew he could publicly say what he wanted to say, and he would have guys like his sons and Cam, Still, and Craig and Travis that were in that locker room to kind of be that bridge. Well, now he doesn't have that. I don't think he has confidence in this locker room. He's kind of been dropping hints all year about that type of stuff, and now it's really kind of like, look, I don't trust these guys. And I think that says a lot about this team.
He said after the loss to Arizona in one of the press conferences, Brian, he said, I have the answers. I think it was you. Was it you that was asking that question? I can't remember or not, but he said he had the answers, but he wants to be transparent, but he doesn't want to tell you guys. I thought that was weird too, man. You get to these losing seasons, it's interesting to hear what coaches will say.
Yeah, and again, that's another thing that with his wording, I get what he's saying, but it also makes him look bad, because when he says, I don't know, and then he says, well, I do have the answers. I just don't want to say it. It makes him look bad. I think he knows, but I think he's being very, very careful not to criticize his players and his coaches. And he's sort of been that like that all year. Like, he won't say anything bad about Caden Salter publicly, yet they're very frustrated with him. It's very obvious with that. And so, I think that he's bit his tongue a lot in regard to this team this year. And so I think he does know answers. I just don't think that the solutions are necessarily here right now.
And I was just going to ask if they're here. Byron Leftwich, is that a guy that you could see being the offensive coordinator next year?
Maybe. And one thing that maybe we haven't done a good job of relaying this through the media, but like Byron hasn't been here this year.
Yeah,
there was
so
a lot made of. There was a lot made of him, like, coming on staff. He was never hired, and he's not really here. So, he's got a son that's in high school that I think is a star basketball player maybe, and he's been heavily involved with him. So I don't know with Byron. I don't know what his family situation's like and where he's at with his son. But I think that's a guy that you would definitely look at. I think they need a college OC.
So it's funny with the Byron Leftwich thing because, if you Google, like, where is Byron Leftwich now, like, seriously, the answers will come back and say currently he's with the Colorado Buffs. It's so weird to me. What went down with that whole situation? Why didn't he end up with the Buffs?
I think it's because of his son. I think that he's never wanted to fully commit to the job because he's so close with his son. And I think he coaches. I don't know for a fact as I give this answer. So,
yeah.
But I think that he coaches his son or mentors him a lot in basketball, I think it is. And so he's heavily involved with whatever sport his son is in. I think it's basketball. And so I just think he's never really wanted to commit to this job where he knew he would be away from his family and his son.
That was an odd one for sure. All right, Brian, what do you think, man? The Buffs are a 6.5-point dog in this game. Do they cover that? Do they pull off the win?
They're very capable of pulling off this win, as we know, just watching the first 7 weeks. It's just impossible for me to pick that right now based on what I've seen the last 2 weeks. I got West Virginia 35, Colorado 21. I just don't see how this team gets it back mentally from where they are right now.
All right, my friend. Well, always appreciate your insight and taking some time to talk to us. And we'll see what happens the rest of the way, man. But appreciate it, Brian. Have a good weekend.
You bet. Thanks, Brady.
All right, Brian Howell, Buff Zone. Okay, so hands up here. I Steinered it, Mike. I Steinered it. I thought Byron Leftwich was there, and Brian even kind of... Dude, seriously, Google it. Google where is Byron Leftwich. It'll tell you that he's with the Colorado Buffaloes. It's very strange.
Yeah, I Googled him the other day, and I saw he was with the Buffaloes, 2025 to present.
Yes. CBS Sports did a story on August 1st, Byron Leftwich to join Colorado staff. And then it just never, we never heard about it, and it was never official. I thought he was in some kind of role where he was like an advisor or something, but it is odd that that just kind of went away. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Is Mike Gundy's name starting to really gain some steam when it comes to potential next head coach for the Colorado State Rams? Let's talk about that coming up next. It's the whole show powered by Chevron on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Big City Roadhouse presents Football Friday. on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, it's Andrew Bogish from CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
All right, welcome back into The Whole Show. Now, this is a fascinating read. Chris Humer, John Talty, and Richard Johnson of CBS Sports Radio. They're listing all the candidates, 88 of them, the only list you need for college football's wildest coaching carousel. And it's a fascinating read. On down the page, if you go all the way through it, Mike Gundy's not one of the big ones. They label him as recently fired and back in the game? Question mark. Here's what they write about Gundy. Gundy wants to keep coaching. Several sources have linked him to Colorado State, though the Rams are expected to have a robust candidate pool. That's all. That's the only line on Mike Gundy. There's paragraphs and paragraphs of everybody else, Napier and Kelly and all these other, all the other big names, the coordinators, the Colin Kleins. There's a lot written on them. But for Mike Gundy, it's Gundy wants to keep coaching. Several sources have linked him to Colorado State, though the Rams are expected to have a robust candidate pool. I don't know that Mike Gundy's a hot name throughout college football. Like, I don't know that he's going to get another big job. He's not going to get even a job like a similar situation to Oklahoma State because he doesn't really buy into the whole NIL thing. He's not crazy about it. He's not crazy about the transfer portal stuff. So that's going to probably take him out of the running for any major jobs. Maybe also his resume would take him out of the running for any major jobs, but that would then open up a potential CSU situation for Mike Gundy. I was like pretty hyped, you know, jokingly, kind of like, oh, Mike Gundy to CSU. I don't know, Mike, because if he's not going to buy into this new way of college football, big name or not, I don't. Am I about to say no to Mike Gundy?
Oh, I'd be saying no to Mike Gundy unless the press conferences are just fabulous.
Well, the press conferences will be fabulous. Mike just commented, because I put out the story, throwing crap at the wall to see what hits would be a horrible move for CSU. I don't know if this is a legitimate thing, like who are these sources, you know? Several sources have linked him to Colorado State. That, according to CBSSports.com.
Well, it was my cousin and my best friend.
It could be anybody. It could be a random reporter. It could have been me, Mike. It could have been me. I text and said, yeah, Mike Gundy, CSU. And then they take that as a link. That could be it. It was not me.
I mean, they need something for the article. Sometimes they just have to stretch the truth just a little bit.
But it is interesting that they would handpick Colorado State in the Mike Gundy sentence there. No other school linked to Mike Gundy at this point. 12:55 the time. The Quarterback Toilet Bowl with Tanner Schwent, the dude down the hall, and Dancing with Myself coming up. My bad quarterback picking days might be numbered. We'll talk about it coming up next. We'll be right back.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.